Beloved, the Father of Light is said to enlighten the eyes of our understanding using his servant, whom he has called to equip and build the saint. Now his excellency of speech will by power and demonstration of the Holy Spirit enjoy the Spirit.
Nothing is difficult for you. Nothing is difficult for you. And we know that. And that is why we know that you have answered us. And from now henceforth, there will be changes in the name of Jesus. There will be changes. We begin to believe you for the impossible in the name of Jesus. Master Jesus. Mr. Feglushte had seen it. Regostixe. Mr. Feglushte. Doors that we couldn't imagine would open. They'll open of their own accord. Henceforth, in the name of Jesus, Master Duda, Mr. Tejul Ambaro, Telehose, Regos the Pizza, Shadows is host, Regis, Missy and Jadis, Boboja, Boboja, is the title. Every impossibility mindset in us, that we pray that you knock them off in Jesus' name. We no longer limit you in the name of Jesus. We no longer limit you in Jesus' name. Malehose, Boboja, the Gatso Zoo. Mr. Feglush the Hetzer will no longer limit you in the name of Jesus. Master Fejo, Death Kelabost, Mefregoste Fezolovostendri, Regoste, Rialis de Pojalis Getabo, Bregaste Seize, Membleros de Hepsuzo, Neskenoste, Bregaste Seize, Mr. Feglush the Hetzer, Mr. Feglush, Bregaste, Mr. Fujitoste. Oh, like Jasper. Like Sodom, your glory is inexpressible. Like Jasper, like Sodom, your glory is inexpressible. Like Jasper, like Sardine, your glory is inexpressible. Like Jasper, like Sardine, your glory. Inexpressible. Ella, 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 Ella,
and worthy to be praised. You are the Lamb upon the throne, and unto you we lift our voice to sing. You are the Lamb upon the throne. Oh, for you, for you, for you are glorious and worthy to be praised. You are the Lamb upon the throne.
our seats. You know, the glory of God is weight. It is weight. We need strength to carry it. If we don't have enough strength, the glory can crush us. It's a weight. It's a weight. Hallelujah. Thank God for another opportunity to gather. I appreciate Pastor, and I appreciate all the pastors. I appreciate all of you. I appreciate everybody for the opportunity I have to be here. Like I keep telling you, it's not anything that I take lightly. Hallelujah. We started something on Sunday. We talked about balancing gifts and fruits, and we saw that we must not hold on to fruits and leave gifts. I must not hold on to gifts and leave fruits. We need the two to be what exactly God wants us to be. Just like a bird needs two wings to fly, we need the two of them. If you fly with one wing, well, the best you can do is try. You will struggle. So if we hold on to only gifts, it will look like we are successful in the short run, but in the long run, our disaster will be obvious. If we say, oh, we are holy people, we don't care about the supernatural, we just want to please God, that's all we want to do, that's just one wing again. At some point, you'll be so cold that flies will start perching on you. Hallelujah. And I remember on Sunday, we started on the note that, we can be living in the Spirit and not walk in the Spirit. And you know that can really baffle many people. That how can you be living in the Spirit and not be walking in the Spirit? And sincerely, again, like as usual, I was wondering. Of course, I can just open 1 Corinthians and start talking. But God, there's something God always wants us to hear each time we come. So because of that, I had to, like, God, I beg, wait in again. But so he just redirected me to that point. He redirected me to the note on which we ended on Sunday, that you can actually be living in the Spirit and not be walking in the Spirit. How many of you got thrown off balance? Or how many of you got confused hearing that kind of thing? How many of you have ever asked yourself that? How is it possible that you're living in the Spirit and you're not walking in the Spirit? Did you ever have questions about that? Okay. And you know, just yesterday, as I was talking about it again, God, I felt led to go in that direction, and that's why this evening we'll be looking at walking in the Spirit, walking in the Spirit, walking in the Spirit. You know, this is Bible study, walking in the Spirit, walking in the Spirit. Can we start with Galatians chapter 5 verse 16? Galatians chapter 5 verse 16. Galatians 5:16. We are going to read so many scriptures. The Bible says, I say then, walk in the Spirit, and you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. Probably you've had issues with the lust of the flesh. The solution is walking in the Spirit. Now the question is, how do I walk in the Spirit? That is why we are here this evening. I say then, walk in the Spirit, and you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. Verse 25, please. Verse 25. Verse 25 says, if we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. It was so interesting to me when I discovered that the walk in 16 is actually not the same as the walk here. The walk in 16 talks more about making progress. The walk here is more like following the like marching like a military man. That's what the walk here is about. Like you're marching like a military man. We are going to see all those things as we move further. So the first one says, walk in the Spirit so that you don't feel the lust of the flesh. And then we come here and we have, if we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. So, and like we said, you can be living in the Spirit and not be walking in the Spirit. Let's see Colossians chapter 2 verse 6 also. We also read that last week. Colossians chapter 2 verse 16. Colossians 2 6. As you therefore have received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk in Him. So you can receive Christ Jesus and not walk in Him. That's what exactly the scripture is saying. As you therefore have received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk in Him. So, you know, the reason why we have so many crises in the body today is that there are so many people who have received Christ Jesus, but they are not walking in Him. That's why we have trouble in church. You know, I like John chapter 3 also. We have something analogous to this there. I think in verse 3 or so, John 3:3 or so, Bible says, what's the scripture again? Jesus answered and said to me, okay, most assuredly I say to you, please, KJV. Thank you. You know, I can be very modern. Well, let's go KJV. Jesus answered and said unto him, verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. The key, the main thing here is the see. Can we see 5? Jesus answered, verily, 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 I say unto thee, except a man be born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. The first one, except a man be born again, he cannot see. You can see the kingdom and not enter into the kingdom. Just like you can live in the Spirit and not walk in the Spirit. You can receive Christ and not walk in Him. That's just what the scripture is telling us. So, our focus today is walking in the Spirit. Now, because of the kind of upbringing I had, I am angry with complexities. Do you understand? For example, we're taught that if you want, by the time you want to get married, there's something like God's will in marriage. So, I believed that there's God's will in marriage. But guess what? After some time, okay, God, there's God's will in marriage. We're not taught how to find the God's will. So because of that, I entered into a relationship just because the lady, we're talking and the lady said she was a virgin. It is good to be a virgin. Do you understand? But I wasn't taught how to find God's will. I believe there was God's will. So that is why I believe God is leading us in this line. You have probably been hearing about walking in the Spirit. What exactly does it mean? You have seen it several times. Most of the things I'll be saying, they are not new things. But, you know, sometimes God just needs to draw our attention to some things so that we can really know. Do you know sometimes you don't really know what you know? Do you understand? You know, some things are so common that you cannot even define them. For example, how many people, who can define street? I know you know street. But if I give you a microphone, most of us may have issues trying to define it. It is so common that we cannot even define it. And somebody said, what you define is what you find. You know, all those motivation package. What you define. I saw one interesting one yesterday, very interesting. Said, if you cannot pay the price, you cannot eat the rice. I was like, literally. Wow. A pastor actually preached that in church. In fact, his name is Pastor Emmanuel or something, I don't know. You know, I just followed the hashtag Pastor Emmanuel. And I saw, if you cannot pay the price, you cannot eat the rice. I was like, that's revelation. Hallelujah. So, back to what I was saying. What you define is what you find, you know. That is why, as a student, one way you can be excellent is, for example, you have just been admitted to study any course, okay, bio, project management. And the fact is, you just started going to class like that. Just started going to class, taking all the lectures and everything. And then, before you know it, you are just struggling. You are in 300 level. You don't even know your direction. Do you know what I would usually do? Once I have been admitted, for example, I'm considering all kinds of countries right now that I can go. Now, immediately a country comes to my mind. Do you know, I start, okay, let me even read about this country. What is their history? What kind of government system do they practice and things like that? Then, after that, then I can go ahead and say something like Christianity in wherever. There was a time I was seriously considering Saudi Arabia. They have plenty money. Plenty money. But then, Pastor Dilly and I were like, our hearts were pulled to that thing so much that time. But do you know what ended it for me? I just Googled Christianity in Saudi Arabia. So imagine, something can just happen. I just say, Jesus, that can be a crime. Women cannot drive. They'll just be indoors. Now, then, I had always told myself that I don't want to go to any country where probably my wife travels somewhere and she's coming. I cannot go to the airport and hug her. I don't want that kind of country. So I just looked at all of those things together. I was like, ah, guy, let their money perish with them. So what am I talking about? What you define is what you find. Walking in the Spirit. We need to know exactly what it is. Because from what we saw already, the scripture tells us that we should walk in the Spirit so that we not feel the lust of the flesh. And I know many of us have issues with lust of the flesh. You may not be fornicating, you may not be committing adultery and all that, but it can just be subtle pride. Subtle, you know, some kind of pride are very interesting. Subtle pride. You are proud. You are humble, but it is pride. Do you understand? For example, I keep giving. Exactly. You know, you are proud of your humility. Have you seen all these small politics they do in foot? I just see somebody. My name is Comrade Emmanuel Dantzu. I remain my humble self. Honorable Emmanuel Dantzu. I am humble. Honorable Emmanuel Dantzu. I'm the one actually introducing myself. Walk in the Spirit. So, since we know that the solution to our deliverance from the flesh is walking in the Spirit, then we need to know for sure what that walking in the Spirit is. Now we've read Galatians 5:16, we've read Colossians 2:6, we've read John 3:5, and you know, I can say the following from all the scriptures, that to walk in the Spirit is to progress or advance in the Spirit. You can come into the Spirit and remain there. You can come into the Spirit and just remain there. Now, and that is basically from the idea of walk here is about match, is about advancing it, making progress. So you can come into the Spirit and not make progress. You can be baptized in the Holy Ghost, you just speak in tongues, and you think that's all about it. What about the word of knowledge? What about the word of wisdom? What about the prophecy? What about the faith? What about interpretation of tongues? So those are the advancements. You know, I started speaking in tongues a long time ago, but it was only recently, like maybe 1 or 2 years ago, that I had enough faith to interpret tongues. When we're starting youth convention, I think 2 years ago. And since that time, whenever any tongue was being spoken, I had the faith that, give me microphone, even if I just know that God will give me the interpretation. That was when I discovered it. In fact, you do know the way it happened that day. Lori was just here, he was there. That was the Tuesday of the youth week, and he was just speaking in tongues and everything, and this confidence just in that guy, you can interpret this thing. And he just finished, he said, any interpreter please. And I stepped forward and I just started saying something. I was like, wow. And since that time, anytime a tongue was spoken, you had an interpretation, and whenever somebody else interpreted it, I saw that it was in line. Hallelujah. So you can live in the Spirit and not advance in the Spirit. And of course, you know that if you don't flow, like we said on Sunday, if you don't flow, all kinds of debt will gather inside of you. Like any water body that doesn't flow, they are known for gathering debris, gathering all kinds of dirty things. So we have to make progress, just like we have in Galatians 5:16. I say, then walk in the Spirit, and you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. So to walk in the Spirit, like I said, is to progress or advance in the Spirit, to desire more things. Now, just like we also said on Sunday, God is inexhaustible. Now, if you raise the dead, don't think that's all God can do. God can do so much more that we don't even know. So that's why we have to. You cannot get to a point, mommy, welcome, ma. You cannot get to a point where you say, I have arrived. Just, I think there's a book titled, It Is Not Yet Uhuru. You cannot say we have arrived yet. Do you understand? You won't get to a point in God where you have arrived. No way. It's not possible. So knock that off your mind. So if you swing your hand like this and everybody dies and rises again, you have not arrived. There are more things to press into. So just like I said also the other time, the antidote to the desires of the flesh is to make progress in the Spirit. Now, how many of you have had issues like me? At some point, you just discover over so many years, you discover that you are struggling with a particular issue. You are born again, but you still have that problem. It still keeps coming. It is because probably you have not advanced beyond your current level in the Spirit. There are moves, there are progresses you will make. You just leave some things behind naturally. Hallelujah. So if things like that are happening right now, the call is make progress in the Spirit. Journey further in the Spirit. So the antidote to the desires of the flesh is to make progress in the spirit. Just like light naturally gives way to darkness, the flesh gives way to the spirit. When there is darkness, just like one matchstick, you will know that something has happened. In the same way, when the spirit steps in, or when you add a little more spirit, allow me to use that term, when you add a little more spirit, a level of darkness goes. Light drives away darkness. Spirit drives away flesh. Now, you know, it is very easy to live after the flesh. Now, it is interesting that when you look through scriptures, most of the time where you have flesh, you always have flesh and spirit, always together. There are two contenders fighting for your soul. Two contenders fighting for your soul and all that. And see, the easiest one is the flesh. You don't need to do anything to live in the flesh. Just be yourself. Just be yourself. You want to drink Five Alive? Go for it. You want Coke? Take it. You want bitter lemon? Drink it. You want sweeter lemon? Any lemon, just drink it. You just live naturally. And that is the way to follow the flesh. But if you want to live according to the spirit, it's like you are going against your natural order. That's why it becomes like a struggle. It becomes like a battle. But it is assured that the more you advance, the stronger you get. And the more you drop some things behind. Hallelujah. So the spirit drives out light drives out darkness. In the same way, spirit drives out flesh. Can we see Ephesians chapter 5 verse 17? Here's one very interesting scripture. Ephesians 5:17. The Bible says that, therefore, KJV. Okay. Wherefore, be ye not unwise, but understanding the will of the Lord. Verse 18. And be not drunk with wine, wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit. Now, how many of you did some literature? I thank God for the kind of school I attended. I was a science student, but I did literature up till SS1, and we did some very powerful analysis and all that. And be not drunk with wine, wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit. Now, what figure of speech is this? What figure of speech is this? I hope you still remember the figures of speech. What are they? Simile, metaphor, anecdote, rhetorical question, MOA, onomatopoeia, yeah. Yes, you know. Now, which one is this? Which one is this? You say? Calabar. You are not sure. Now, of course, most of the times, when you don't know what it is, most of the times, you have simile and metaphor when you have two things being compared. In this place, I can boldly say this is a metaphor. If it is simile, you see something like, do not be drunk with wine, like something, something, or as something. But in this place, two things are being compared, but there's no like or as. So, it is a metaphor. Now, the metaphor is juxtaposing wine and spirit. Why? Wine and spirit. It means that the spirit has the same effect wine can have on you. When you are drunk with wine, you can come to pastor and say rubbish. But when the wine is gone, you'll be like, hey, German. In the same way, now, was it Pastor Jiri that was leading us in prayer yesterday and was talking about, Pastor Bello was talking about Idahosa, boldness, audacity and all of that. See, for somebody like me, we cannot do some things if you are not... In fact, we cannot do so much for God without the Spirit. That's just what I'm trying to say. Some of us are chicken-hearted and lily-livered. We need the Spirit. So when you are drunk with the Spirit, you just discover yourself doing crazy things and you'll be like, shame in the Moshebe. Spirit. So instead of being drunk with wine, go for Spirit. Interestingly, all those bad guys, they know what they are doing. You know, another name for Ogogoro is Spirit. Those guys are terrible. Spirit. Imagine. I just remember that now. And be not drunk with wine, wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit. Be filled with the Spirit. Be filled with the Spirit. Colossians 3:16. Colossians 3:16. Be filled with the Spirit. Colossians 3:16 also makes mention of something about being filled or being full and all that. Colossians 3:16. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom. to dwell in you richly in all wisdom in that sense also is more like it take overpowering you, taking you over, making you lose your natural sense, and then you are overwhelmed by it. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom. In all wisdom. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom. The same effect like when you are drunk with the Spirit. John 6:63-64. Okay, it is Bible study, so plenty scriptures. John 6:63-64. There it talks about the word of God. Now you see, all of these things are just the same. So if you look at the word to some extent, you discover it is the Spirit. If you look at the Spirit, you discover it is actually the word. And then you just have all of those things interconnected. The Bible says it is the Spirit who gives life. Some of us think the Spirit is a thing. How many of you think the Spirit is a thing? Like the Jehovah Witness, they believe the Spirit is a force. The Spirit is a person, actually. It is the Spirit who, right? Is who animate or inanimate? Animate. It is the Spirit who gives life. It is the Spirit who animates. It is the Spirit that brings you to life. The flesh profits nothing. Oh, you say this scripture is not right. The flesh can fetch you millions of naira. That million of naira, all those millions of naira, the Bible is still saying that they are nothing. Whatever profit you think you are getting according to the flesh is nothing actually. This is scripture. It is the Spirit who gives life. The Spirit profits nothing. Like Rotola will say, the Spirit profits nada. It is the Spirit who gives life. The flesh profits nothing. No, nothing in fact. The words that I speak to you are Spirit. So the word, we saw the word taking you over, you know, you being full of the word richly. Now the Bible is telling us that the words that I speak to you are Spirit and they are life. Why are the Spirit and life? Because it is the Spirit that gives life. Because the word is Spirit, then it gives life. The words that I speak to you are Spirit and they are life. And they are life. So from these three scriptures we've read, I can say the following, that to walk in the Spirit is to be taken over by the Spirit like wine. So the Spirit can have intoxicating effect upon you in your normal sense. Okay, like the normal me. If God gives me a word for the vice chancellor, I'll cringe a bit, I'll be afraid. But if the Spirit takes you over, you walk boldly into his office, please. I want to, of course, the Spirit will also teach you wisdom. He's giving you gift of the Spirit, he's also giving you self-control. Alright? So the two have to go together because you can go and blow. So he gives me a word for the vice chancellor, and then he gives me the wisdom to go. The normal me will not go. Because I'll be like, hey, vice chancellor to assistant lecturer, what's the connection? But with the Holy Spirit, you can imagine. Do you think when Elijah stood up and he was like, there will not be rain for 3.5 years, you think it was talking from Ogogoro to a spirit? Or maybe he had eaten too much of Eba. No, it was Spirit that was talking. Do you know what it meant to face the combination of Ahab and Jezebel, a prince and a princess, powerful people in wickedness? It is the Spirit who gives life. The flesh profits nothing. The words that I speak to you are Spirit and they are life. That is why I said to walk in the Spirit is to be taken over by the Spirit like wine. Now, in this, in talking about the harvest, God is going to be leading us into impossible places. He's going to be leading us into uncharted territories. And the only grace, we need the Spirit to be able to enter those places. Because Ojulason, ordinary eye cannot enter those places. It is the Spirit that can actually help us to get into those places. To walk in the Spirit is to be taken over by the Spirit like wine. Then to walk in the Spirit is to be influenced by the Word of God. To be influenced by the Word of God. Now, you see, it's very interesting today that we have, right in the church, we have many traditional people. Traditional. They are, in fact, some are even pastors, but they are traditional. Like, you know, there are still pastors that they still follow the things in that. Maybe they get married, and maybe there are some rites they have to perform. They are pastors, but they will still have to go through that thing. Of course, some of our traditions are biblical. Let's hold on to them. Like respect, it's biblical. So let's hold on to those ones. But the ones that are against God, let's throw them away. To be influenced by the Spirit. Now, you see, if all of us as Christians can be influenced by the scriptures, the church will be better than this. The harvest will be easier than this. And that is why all of us are first of all we are the first harvest. Because there are still things that the scriptures have not got to certain areas in our lives. And that is why you can see somebody will preach that, yeah, because of the Spirit, we are one. No Jew, no Gentile, no Ebo like me, no Ebira like Sadia, no Yoruba, no Igbo. You understand? But then, when the daughter comes and says, "Sir, my husband is Ebira," ah, good job. You know? Now, we have to walk in the Spirit. If Ebira is what God is saying, feel free. Enjoy. If they are not walking in the Spirit, you have war to fight. If you are sure God has spoken to you, then roll up your sleeves and shikoto and know that there is war. You know, there was a time in August 2013, something happened. And I was with mommy, and mommy was like, Tabasha Befeya, we're my lossy, Lutoji, no. When you come home, Tabaja Germany, and I am my loss, she'll be playing like that. Hallelujah. Mommy, I don't mean to. Hallelujah. You know, the plane makes Germany closer than Akwa Ibom, you know. So to walk in the Spirit is to be influenced by the Word of God. Another thing is, to walk in the Spirit is to appropriate the quickening power of the Holy Spirit. To appropriate the quickening power of the Holy Spirit. Because this scripture tells us that the Spirit gives life. 64. It is the Spirit who gives life, the flesh profits nothing. But there are some of you who do not believe. For Jesus knew from the beginning who they were, who did not believe, and who would betray him. Because they did not believe, the Word, that is the Spirit that gives life, will not profit them anything. So I can also say that walking in the Spirit is believing in the Word of God. Believing God's Word. Of course, if you don't believe in that Word, you won't allow it to influence you. Hallelujah. Believe. Simple things. Just have faith in God. Have faith in God. Hallelujah. So to walk in the Spirit is to appropriate the quickening power of the Holy Spirit. Can we look at another set of scriptures? Galatians chapter 5 verse 18. Galatians 5, 18. And 25. 5:18. But if you are led by the Spirit, you are not under the law. Do you understand that? But if you are led by the Spirit, you are not under the law. That under can mean you are not in bondage to the law. You are not a slave to the law. Because walking in the Spirit already puts you above the law. Not above the law, not in the sense of breaking the law, but you naturally fulfill the law. By walking in the Spirit, you are not subservient to the law. You are not a slave to the law. Because you are automatically operating by a higher standard. So you are automatically fulfilling the requirements of the law. If you are still struggling and you still say, God, I have done it again and all that. Probably it is because you are still trying to live holy by your flesh. You still want to do, you are still struggling with your own energy. And it is not, you cannot do this thing by your energy. But if you be led of the Spirit, ye are not under the law. You are not a slave to the law. You are not bound by the law, because automatically you are above the law. Not in the sense of breaking the law like I said the other time. But you are automatically operating at a higher frequency than the law. Hallelujah. And of course we see Romans 6:14. Let's do 25 here. 25. We read that already. If we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. And like I said the other time, the walk here talks more like marching. Marching like an army. Marching in order, according to the order of the Spirit. If we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. Romans 6:14, it says, "For sin shall not have dominion over you, for you are not under the law, but under grace." You know, many people have taken this to mean that you don't need to obey the law anymore. But that is not true. Sin will not have dominion over you because you are levitating above sin, because you are walking in the Spirit. Gravity will not have dominion over you as far as the law of lift or the law of aerodynamics is in action. That is the idea. You are in a plane. Gravity has no place. until you are only subjected to gravity at your will. It is only when the pilot is ready to land the plane that he then probably releases himself to the force of gravity in a controlled way. Hallelujah. For sin shall not have dominion over you. And also the Bible tells us that for as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. Then we can also look at James chapter 4 verse 7. James 4 7. Submit yourselves therefore to God. Resist the devil and he will flee from you. Submit yourselves therefore to God. Resist the devil and he will flee from you. Now, from here, what I'm just saying is, walking in the Spirit is submitting to God. When you are submitted to God, the devil automatically is at your feet. Because you are with God. There's a word that, it's not scripture, it says, one with God is majority. If you are with God, then you can resist the devil boldly. You know, there's this thing that keeps coming to my mind about this, resist the devil and he will flee from you. Then there's a place where the Bible says, I think it's 1 Timothy or so, where the Bible says, flee youthful lust. And what I often tell people is, now I say this to people people that tend to think that they are supermen. Have you met brethren that they believe, I can sleep in the same room with a sister, nothing will happen. Me, I know myself, something will happen. So, flee youthful lust. Now, if you can, you should flee youthful lust. But here, you can resist the devil. Who is more powerful, lust or devil? Who is more powerful? The one you are fleeing from or the one you can face and resist? Who is more powerful? Lust. Lust is more powerful than devil. That is why you don't face lust and start rebuking it. No, you flee. But when you see the devil, because you are submitted to God, you can see devil, get out, and he will go. Resist the devil and he will flee from you. And from all the scriptures, I can say that to walk in the Spirit is to be led by the Spirit. So if you're not being led by the Spirit, now it is interesting that when people only get to be, people only want to be led by the Spirit when they want to get married. And the question is, we have not had deals involving 10 naira, 100 naira, 1,000 or so. Then you just come one day and you're saying, please give me 10 million naira, I'll return it after 2 months. Do you think I will trust you? No. But if I remember that, I borrowed him. Or is it lent? I lent him 10 naira 2 years ago. He returned it as promised. Then later I gave him 100 and all that, and he returned it. It is the same thing. You want to get married and you want God to lead you. He has not even led you. He did not lead you when you are going to enter Futa. He did not even lead you. He has not led you before. He has not even told you anything like, today you are going out. Though it is very sunny right now, but take a cloth that will make you feel warm because it is going to rain later in the day. He's not even leading you that way. He has not led you before that. Okay, this is a normal party take, but today I want to meet somebody. Take this other route. He has not led you like that. Then you want to get married and you want him to lead you. It doesn't work that way. I'll be too glad to make some sacrifices for you if we already have a history of sacrificing for ourselves. It's easier. Hallelujah. Do you understand? So what I'm just trying to say is that this thing is a stepwise, just like somebody once said it, it's more like mathematics or statistics, says that walking in the Spirit is stepwise, continuous, and cumulative. You know what that means? Walking in the Spirit is stepwise, it's step by step. And each step you take, you are continuing. It's continuous. There shouldn't be a break. In fact, if there's a break, you come back and continue from where you stopped. Then it is cumulative. It's that, of course, why would God tell who is this rich American preacher? That Aerojet man, very rich, sir? No, sir. Copeland. Why would God tell Kenneth Copeland that? See, your mother has come so much. Did God tell the mother the first day she started praying? Maybe God only told her that thing after about 20 years of consistent coming to God on behalf of Kenneth Copeland. So it is stepwise, it is continuous, and it is cumulative. It is something we have to keep building on. It's just like friendship. Why is it difficult for some friends to be separated? Because they have fought, they have done all kinds of things, they've had issues together, and then they've been through it all. So when you are trying to attack somebody, they stand up against you. Hallelujah. So when you are led by the Spirit, you will not be in bondage or subservient to the law. I've said that already. To walk in the Spirit is to go in the order of formation of the Holy Spirit like a soldier. Now, it means you get to a point where you don't just do anything just because you want to do it. You know, sometimes when money comes into your hand, before it comes, you have spent it. But the fact that you made the money does not make the money your own. There's a way God wants you to spend that money. Hallelujah. There's a way God wants you to spend that money. But of course, it's my money now, so, chiki chiki, choco choco, and the money is gone. You know, there was this time that anytime I was going to the market to buy something, I'd be like, God, I beg you, let me go to the right shop and buy the right thing. And it has been helping. Because before then, many times I would go to the market, I would buy something, I would take it home, I would discover it is useless. I would have to give it out. But since I started praying that, God, this one, please, I beg, help me buy the correct thing. Hallelujah. So to walk in the Spirit is to go in the order of formation of the Holy Spirit like a soldier. Now, as a soldier, you are not marching because you just feel like marching. No. Somebody is commanding you. Now, to walk in the Spirit is to allow the Holy Spirit to be your commanding officer. To call parade for you. To call you out when you should be called out. To make you march. To make you turn right or left or about and all that. Whenever He wants. So, walking in the Spirit is following the Holy Spirit. Like He's commanding you in a match. Walking in the Spirit prevents us from executing our sensual longings. You know, our senses, like I said, walking in the Spirit will help us to not execute those things. That's why 25 of Galatians chapter 5 says, walk in the Spirit so that you not fulfill the lusts of the flesh. That's 16 rather. Walk in the Spirit so that you not fulfill the lust of the flesh. Walking in the Spirit prevents us from executing our sensual longing. To walk in the Spirit is to submit to God. Just like we saw in James 4:7, when we submit to God, the devil is automatically defeated. He's automatically defeated. Because it is when you are with God, when you have submitted to God, that you can now resist the devil and he will actually flee. If you try to resist the devil on your own, your experience will be like the seven sons of Sceva. Hallelujah. Titus 3:3-5. Okay. Titus 3:3-5. For we ourselves also were sometimes foolish, disobedient, deceived, serving diverse lusts and pleasures, living in malice and envy, hateful and hating one another. 4. But after that the kindness and love of God our Savior toward man appeared, 5, not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to His mercy, He saved us by the washing of regeneration and renewing of the Holy Ghost. The renewing of the Holy Ghost. Now, when you live in the Spirit, of course, the Spirit can regenerate you, can renew you. But you may be living in Him and not allow Him to regenerate you. You can be living in Him and not allow Him to renew you. You can be working in Him for 20 years and you still get angry like you used to get angry the first time you believed. You can be working in Him and you are still as proud as you used to be 20 years ago when you believed. Hallelujah. It does the work of regeneration and renewal in us. So in that case, to walk in the Spirit is to be regenerated and renewed by the Holy Spirit. To open up ourselves unto the Holy Spirit to regenerate us. Remember John chapter 3 verse 5 where it says that, except you are born of the Spirit, except you are born of the water, you cannot enter. You are seeing already, because we can't even consider you for entering if you are not even seeing, if you have not even seen in the first place. So 3 verse 3, you have fulfilled that one, you are born again. Jesus, come into my life, I am up for you and everything, you are in. But then that's where it all stops. You know, there's this issue about Jesus as Savior and Jesus as Lord. Many people have accepted Him as Savior. Their sins are washed, but they are stagnant. Because they are not following the instruction of their commanding officer. That is the Spirit. We also see something close to that in Ephesians chapter 2. We'll read from verse 1 to 6 so we begin to round off. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 1 to 6. Something close to what we have here. It says, and you had He quickened. Okay, sorry, let's go back before I forget. Let's go back to Titus 3:3-5. I'm so sorry about that. Titus 3:3 says, for we ourselves also were sometimes foolish, disobedient, deceived, serving diverse lusts and pleasures, living in malice and envy, hateful and hating one another. So all of these things are in operation in us. But when we allow the Holy Spirit to walk upon us, to regenerate and renew us, all these things will be wiped out. And people will be like, oh, is this the same person we used to know 20 years ago? Is this not the same person that killed somebody 10 years ago? And the person cannot even hurt a fly. Because the Holy Spirit has been allowed to renew and regenerate. Back to Ephesians chapter 2. Ephesians chapter 2. From verse 1. And you have quickened who were dead in trespasses and sins, wherein in time past you walked according to the course of this world. That is, walk according to your senses, according to your whatever appeals to you. Look at the West. It is whatever appeals to them. Everybody has rights. I have right to say that cockroach is my God. You don't have any right to confront me. You don't even have the right to preach to me that Jesus is Lord. No. I feel cockroach is my God, and that is it. Wherein in time past you walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience. Can we go? Among whom also we all had our conversation in times past, in the lust of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature the children of wrath, even as others. For but God, who is rich in mercy, for his great love wherewith he loved us, 5, even when we were dead in sins, hath quickened us together with Christ. Why do we go for water baptism? It is not because if you don't get baptized in water, you won't go to heaven. In fact, it was so serious in those days that once you go through water baptism, you have signed your death warrant, because you are now identifying with the people of the way who were against the thing every other person was doing. Now, it is just symbolic of dying with Christ and being resurrected with him. Here, the scripture tells us, even when we were dead in sins, hath quickened us together with Christ. So when Christ died and resurrected, we're quickened with him. By grace, ye are saved. And six, and hath raised us up together and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. Now, walking in the Spirit makes us operates by a higher law, because we are seated in the heavenly places with Christ Jesus, and things that affect common men don't affect us anymore. Things that affect common men don't affect us. You know, all kinds of things affect people. You know, somebody very probably has spent 1 year looking for admission, then he's already thinking of killing himself. But we are seated in the heavenly places. We are seated above. So when, and people will see you not reacting to the thing they react to, and they will look at you like you are not normal. And some Andrew Womack will say, you know, as Christians, people will tell you that you are abnormal. And you'll be like, but why should you even look at me as abnormal? You are even actually the one who are abnormal. Hallelujah. Can we rise and pray that God will actually help us to walk in the Spirit? Now we can look at walking in the Spirit are things we have always interacted with, things like submission, obedience, allowing the Holy Spirit to regenerate and renew us. Simple things like allowing the Word of God take over our lives. You know, giving the Word of God the right of place to dictate whatever happens to us. Can we pray that God will help us to actually walk in the Spirit all the days of our lives? The point at which you stop walking with the Spirit, the flesh takes over. The flesh takes over. Can we pray that God will help us to continually walk in the Spirit, that there will be no interruptions, that we'll continually walk in the Spirit, so that we will not fulfill the lust, the desires, the longings of the flesh, or the pull of the flesh over us will not have power over us, because we are fortified by the Spirit of God. Lord, help us to walk in the Spirit.
It's grace, your grace.
We hope that you have been richly blessed by this message. God demands that we not only be hearers but doers of the word. We implore you to put these teachings to practice. Perhaps you have a question running through your mind in the course of the message. Forward it directly to pastor's email, pgtchurch@gmail.com. We desire to have you join one of our meetings, School of Diocesis, every Tuesday, 6 p.m. to 8 p.m. Governmental prayers, every Thursday, 6 p.m. to 8 p.m. Sunday service, 9 a.m. at Power and Glory Tabernacle Auditorium, along Futa South Gate Road, Akure. For more information about the ministry, log on to our website at www.pgtchurch.org or call 080-372-60299. Grace be with you.